Well, if you can't get enough of the best-selling Divergent series by Rana Groth, then stick around because this is Faction Fandom, Episode 9. Good morning. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
Can you call it good morning if it's only 10:30?
Yes.
Okay, then good morning it is. Yeah, so we haven't stopped in a while, Alyssa.
We haven't. It's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah. And you said you had a pretty good June. It's been very busy.
All of my family kind of converged on my house on the beginning of July.
Just in time to celebrate Independence Day for America.
I watched Independence Day like 3 times.
Oh my gosh. That's like a classic.
I watched it all the way through. Like, I adore that movie. I have friends who consistently tell me that it's a terrible movie and that I shouldn't waste my time watching it. And I find, and that is when I smack them upside the head.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those movies that you've got to grow up loving. If you didn't grow up loving it, then there's really no chance for you. You can just say goodbye to that. I almost think of it as like Men in Black.
It is.
I try to get people to watch Men in Black, and it doesn't work out.
I don't understand why people don't like it. I'm like, dude, it's aliens on the 4th of July, okay?
Just, yeah, I roll with it. Can't help it.
Just let it go. Let it go. It'll be fine.
My only regret this summer is that I haven't been able to tackle my summer reading list the way I really want to. What about you? What have you been reading so far?
I actually got into a really big reading rut over June. I didn't read a whole lot. May and June were really bad reading months for me, and I'm really very far behind on my Goodreads challenge.
I'm scared because I'm part of this City of Heavenly Fire friend, and I shoot myself because I've been looking forward to this book coming out for a year, and now that the year has come, I haven't managed to finish the fifth book yet. So it's because you know how you won't finish the series so you don't torture yourself waiting for the last book in a series to come out?
Yeah.
So I didn't finish, what's it called, Lost Souls?
I have no idea.
I think it's the fifth book is City of Lost Souls. And I purposely didn't read that one knowing that I would have something to look forward to transition myself back in. And I'm still trying to get through it. I'm kind of ashamed. And I'm scared to get on Goodreads because I'm going to see all of the comments. And I'm just going to be like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. So. If nothing else, I mean, you just can't. You shouldn't go onto the thread. Don't even do it.
Avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping that July is going to be a better reading month for me. There's a publisher called Colloquially. I'm never going to pronounce their name right. Colloquially?
Don't ask me.
Either way, they're doing a summer reading challenge starting yesterday through August.
Ooh, so what's your reading challenge this week?
So they had like a bunch of books and book series that were part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I may or may not have been distracted this morning by the fact that Landline downloaded onto my e-reader.
Yeah, so Landline came out today, and then the four short stories came out today.
Yes.
Which is exciting for us, because now we have, like, new material to kind of go off of.
It is.
And after July, Isla and the Happily Ever After comes out August. At the very end of August. That's all I'm waiting for. I've been waiting for like these 2-3 books to come out all summer, and that's all I care about. Like,
you don't understand what I did. I went on to Book Depository this morning, and I found out that they're selling Isla and the Happily Ever After paperbacks, and I pre-ordered the paperback.
Okay. You're going to have to explain what Book Depository is.
It's a website where you can go on and buy books from all around the world, and they ship within a disgusting amount of time. So Isla is going to come to me within like 5 to 8 days of the release date.
Oh, okay. So beforehand.
Yeah.
So you get like beforehand.
So I pre-ordered it there, but I didn't want to get it in a hardcover because Anna and Lola are in paperback.
And then it sets up your set.
It does. So yeah. I couldn't get it in paper. I couldn't get it in hardcover. And I was getting cranky and I was waiting. So I found out that I could get it on in paperback on Book Depository. and I pre-ordered the paperback. I've also pre-ordered the paperback of Ruin and Rising.
So, did you order it on Book Depository so that you could get it in paperback, or did you order it so that you could get it a week early?
No, I ordered it on Book Depository so I could get it in paperback.
Got it.
Because I'm a nerd and want my books to be in, like,
matching. Order. Yeah.
I was looking to match.
Yeah, I totally get it. One of my friends had a wedding, or she's having a wedding in August. And for her wedding shower, it was like this, you know, love story theme. And it was fill so-and-so's shelves with your favorite love stories, books and movies. So she wants all these for like romantic comedies and romance novels and stuff. And my first thought was, okay, am I doing Rainbow Rowell or am I doing Stephanie Perkins? Because I really had a hard time choosing.
Ooh.
And I wanted to get her the hardback covers, but like you said, they only sell them in paperback in A Trench Case and Lola. So I was like, I guess I'll get them in paperback for, because the covers are prettier, I think.
I like the covers of the paperback.
They're pretty.
They are.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, June is over. I have seen The Fault in Our Stars maybe more than 3 times now.
Nice.
I came prepared in that movie theater. Okay, I came prepared. I brought, like, my candies, and we bought our popcorn, and I had my tissues and my extra, like, makeup, to touch myself up after the movie.
Nice.
But I debated over bringing the large box of tissues or, like, the travel packets of tissues. I wasn't sure which one I needed. So I just, like, went with the large box, and I figured, push comes to shove, I'll probably share it with, like, my neighbor, you know, that I'm going to the movie with.
Right.
I ran out of tissues, not because of me, but the people sitting around me in the theater, I felt compelled to share them because people were started crying, like, 40 minutes into the movie. Like, oh, my gosh, Augustus Waters comes in the door, sniffle. Oh, my gosh, they go on their, you know, date at Funky Bones, you know, sniffle. People started crying all over the place, and I'm just like, wow, this is going to be intense.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
it was horrible.
It was crazy. Did I tell you I saw it with my mother and my sister?
Mm-mm. How'd that go?
It went well. We each had little packets of tissues, and so the beginning of the movie, we're sitting there waiting, you know, going through the previews, and there's this group of kids sitting behind us. And I say kids in a derogatory kind of way, because they're like teenagers, and I wanted to smack all of them, because they were being really very loud. And my mother goes, I'm going to talk to them. I'm like, no, don't, it'll make it worse. She goes, no, I'm going to talk to them. So she gets up, she goes back. I don't know what she says to them, but they go silent.
So what did she say to them?
I don't know. I think she said she was going to threaten to tell them that that this was a really important movie for her, and because her friend's daughter died of cancer, and if they f***ed up for her, then they're dead.
There you go. That would shut me up.
I don't know if that's what she actually said, but if it is, oh my God.
I got mad at one of my friends. You know, I have, like, movie buddies.
Right.
And so a couple weeks later, we go see How to Train Your Dragon. And I'm not spoiling anything, but I cried.
And
my friend next to me doesn't cry. And she's looking around at both of us. There's, like, 3 or 4 of us in a group. And she's looking around at all of us, and she's just like, I don't know why y'all are crying. And I look at her, I'm like, do you not have a soul?
Like, oh my God, I cried
like a baby. But then she's like, well, I cried in 2 years. Whatever.
Oh my God. Because we're adults, my best friend and I, we went to dinner. We had pizza and beer because we're adults.
Because you're adults, yeah.
And then we went to the movie theater, and we got tickets to How to Train Your Dragon 2. Because we're adults.
Oh my gosh.
We're just sitting there, and at certain points, we just looked at each other, and we're like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever. And then, like, 20 minutes later, we'd look at each other and go, I hate everything about this. And we'd just go back and forth. We'd be like, I hate everything about this. No, this is the best thing in the world.
It was a roller coaster.
It was.
I think that one was more of a roller coaster, because at least I knew what to expect in The Fault in Our Stars. That wasn't so much of a roller coaster. It was just a downhill drop.
It was.
Just a drop. And I just kept dropping.
Yep.
You know, and then you slowly come to a steady halt.
Yeah.
Whereas I...
How to Train Your Dragon 2 was just ups and downs and sides to sides. And moments of going, no, Astrid, no.
The one thing I did realize halfway through the movie was I just thought, man, Astrid is perfect for Hiccup because she's such as snarky and she's such as rebellious and smart as he is. She literally is like the equivalent girl version of Hiccup. They're perfect for each other. I can't imagine another way.
And what I love more than anything else, that she'd probably make a better future leader of the tribe than...
That's what I thought was going to happen, because I thought... Totally he would know exactly what to do. She can be like, you know...
She's going to be the woman next to him.
Okay. Well, we should probably get on with some more news that happened. Probably. Besides How to Train Your Dragons, very important news.
But, it is.
Today, the 4 short stories came out, which is fantastic. Along with that, Veronica Roth started her book tour, which is kind of sad because it's like, this is probably her last book tour.
Well, her last book tour for the Divergent series. It's not going to be the last time.
I feel kind of ominous about the fandom coming to a nice end there. I don't know. She's going to be traveling, though.
Yes.
She's going to be traveling to some really cool places, too, with some really cool people, like Marie Lu.
Really?
Which I'm so jealous that they're not coming to Texas or anywhere near. I'd have to drive all the way up to Denver, Colorado, just to do that. But whatevs. We'll get over that. Yeah, they're going to Boston, Atlanta, Denver, and Lansing, which I think is in Michigan. So it's going to be a really cool thing. They've got her, they've got Marie Lu, they've got Holly Black, they've got somebody else, I can't remember. A really, really nice group of people. So people should check that out if they are in those areas. Also, I've been thinking about this because every time I walk through Walmart, I see the pre-order for the Divergent DVD, and the release date is August 5th.
Oh, fun.
Which seems soon. Does not seem soon to you? It seems soon to me.
Not really. Yeah, it came out last May.
Yeah, like 3 months ago.
No.
May, June, July, August. Maybe March. It came out March.
It came out early this year.
Yeah.
My sister said that she got to watch it again on the plane. So it was earlier this year.
So that's the release date for that. Also, something that's coming up in August is the Teen Choice Awards. You would not believe the ridiculousness. Okay, from Divergent and The Vault in Our Stars alone, these actors are nominated for every award in the show.
I'm not surprised.
The only thing they're not nominated for are the comedies. I don't know. It's crazy. So go vote for those and show your love. The Teen Choice Awards. I probably won't be watching them, but don't tell anybody that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be either.
Also, fantastic news. No, I'm gonna say this wrong, but Keenan Wandsdale, maybe.
I don't know him.
Okay. Has been casted for Uriah.
Yay!
He is great. I'm looking at some of the stuff he's been in before. But we're super excited that they have a cast. I'm just happy. I really don't even care who he is. I'm just happy they have
Uriah
for him. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, that would have been so brutal.
It would have been. And okay, being a journalist, we're gonna have to bring your expertise in here. I know people love to ship their favorite OTPs on and off screen. I know there's been a lot of, you know, like, oh my gosh, is Shailene and Theo, going at it? Are they just friends? Yada, yada, yada. For the record, they were never together. They are really good friends.
Yep.
But I feel like this is just a little bit ridiculous because I'm reading the headlines this morning, and one of the ones is, has Shailene left Theo for Ellen Page? Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, I want to know how credible a story has to be before they are allowed to put it on the internet. Because I just don't...
Oh.
Don't.
They're tabloids. Someone hangs out with an actor, hangs out with another actor for more than 5 minutes. They're like, oh my god, they're dating. Someone's cheating on someone else.
And I feel like if Ellen Page hadn't come out, this wouldn't have been an assumption.
No.
I feel like, oh my gosh, she's hanging out with a lesbian. She's got to be a lesbian too. Whether she is or not is irrelevant.
Yeah. This is the tabloid culture that we have created.
So I thought we should throw that out there and just let everyone know to chill.
Yes.
I don't know what else is going to happen. I'm sure in the past month there have been some crazy other schemes and theories going around there, but I've been seeing the Shio, is that how you say that, the Shio ship?
I tend to avoid celebrity gossip as much as humanly possible because I find it just exhausting and I don't want to deal with it.
People can't see this, but I can see that the look on your face just looks ridiculous. You're just like, whatever.
I hate celebrity gossip so much.
Your face is just very poised. Like, I imagine if the queen were to tell me that my theory on quantum physics were ridiculous, that would be the face you just gave me. I don't even know how else to explain that.
Oh my god. I care about like three people that I vaguely follow on celebrity gossip, and that's about it.
Mm. So I think people just need to relax. Also, I didn't watch this yet, but Girl Meets World. Are you a fan of Boy Meets World?
I am, and I watched the first episode, and I was so pleased with it. I have not watched any of the other episodes.
Well, I don't think the other ones come out yet. I think the pilot came out at the end of June.
Yep.
And then the next episode is coming out this coming weekend. But I haven't watched it yet. I'm waiting for someone to come see me so we can watch it together. But I'm excited, super excited. Okay, so that's our fandom news. Moving on to chapter by chapter.
Yay!
What did we read this week, Alyssa?
We read chapters 22 to 25.
Ooh, a lot happened, too.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be easy, too. I thought 22 is short. 24 was a little bit longer. And then I had to wait for 25. I had to read that on a whole other day. Anyway, so yeah, we just left off last time with the big kidnapping scene.
Yes.
And Triss was rescued.
Yep.
By four. And now we open up the chapter with her waking up in his room.
Yeah.
So they kind of have a heart-to-heart. I don't know. I feel like it's short, but it's to the point. You know, he's worried. He's protective. You know, a lot just happened. He must make sure she's okay. He stresses that she needs to lay low.
Yes.
And show her vulnerability because it's for her own safety. I don't know that I agree with that.
Yes.
But I feel like I get why he's saying that. Because he tells her, but if you get the chance to, you know, ruin them, do it. So,
That's very dauntless of him.
I guess maybe for, like, the element of surprise.
Yeah.
Like, make people think that they've won so that they can become vulnerable themselves. I've always had an issue reading that. Even rereading it this time around, I was like, but that's me. So that happens. She reunites back up with her friends in chapter 23. They're back. They're all sad because she's, you know, beaten up to a pulp. So they're like, oh, we're stupid.
Oh my god, what happened?
We'll protect you. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll see. The big news of the chapter is Four takes them on a little trip to the Fear Landscape room.
Yeah.
Explains that this is their last stage of initiation. And I just love the way he taunts Drew and Peter. The whole time. Because he doesn't want Triss to say anything. but he's going to say something. It just, I was like, funny. You're so funny. Ha ha ha. And then, you know, of course, Al realizes what a butt he is and tries to apologize.
And yeah, he tries.
And she's just not having it, which she has every right to not.
Yep.
I like that quote, too, though, because she just, gosh, she just seems, like, so cool when she says that. You know, she's got this whole paragraph. But she says, you know, somewhere inside of me is a merciful, forgiving person, and I swear she exists, and she hurts for the repentant boy I see in front of me. But if I saw her, I wouldn't recognize her.
Yeah.
Like, she's just so fed up, like, done with him by this point. And I love that she acknowledges, yeah, she does still have this abnegation, you know, compassion, but not for him.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, after what he did and what almost happened, I don't blame her at all.
Exactly. But then, moving on, in chapter 24, we find out that Al kills himself. He jumps off the chasm and commits suicide.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody has the opposite reaction and is, like, praising him for it, for being brave to, you know, kill herself. But she doesn't, she thinks it's ridiculous. And here's my question. She asks for this, I think, at some point, you know, if she had forgiven him, do you think he still would have done that?
No, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe because he still would
have. It might not have happened right away,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't at a point where he felt strong enough to really participate in what they were doing. He didn't have the abilities.
Yeah.
So I think eventually it probably would have happened, or he would have become...
Okay, you said that, because I feel like a lot of people, not just, you know, when a friend commits suicide, but when a friend self-harms, or is depressed or something happens to them, I feel like a lot of people feel like the blame is on them for not reaching out. They could have done something different. They, you know, they beat themselves up over the actions that somebody else takes.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to realize that he was at a state where he was doing this to himself. Nobody was doing this to him.
Nobody made him do it.
Yeah, and even though Triss didn't, like, you know, take his apology, he was still in this depressive, you know, like, state where he didn't know himself and probably would have, you know, killed himself later on, too. And I'm not saying that that's, like, a good thing. I'm just saying, like, in general, I think this is kind of, like, a lesson for people to realize that you can't beat yourself up over somebody else's actions.
Exactly.
Because they made that choice.
Yes. That's their choice, and it really, it has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah, she kind of confides in Four a little bit and talks to him about the whole thing, and she's sad, she's angry, yada, yada, yada.
Cranky, cranky.
The teenage girl.
Yep.
Initially. I love how he's trying to tell her to be careful, and then she, like, is all defensive and she hates him again. Like, they have this moment in his, you know, apartment, and then he, like, is trying to care for her and ask if she's okay and tell her to be careful and warn her about what she's saying and stop running her mouth, and she's all mad at him. Whatever. Anyway. But the final line is the best part. So she's asking him about, you know, Al and everything, and he tells her, but we just have to let the guilt remind us to do better next time.
Yep.
And that is something she learned in abnegation. So why is Four telling her that?
True story.
I know. That was so much, such a big deal.
Yep.
Anyway, there were also some really good, I wouldn't call them good quotes. I'd call them famous quotes.
Yeah.
And you're acting selfless when you're at your bravest, and fear doesn't shut you down, it wakes you up. Those are some of the big ones that fly around the world. And
I like it.
And then chapter 25 happens, and it's funny because the least amount of information listed under it, but it was like the biggest chapter.
It was.
So we've talked about our fears before.
Yeah.
But we go into Four's landscape, and even though we've read the book once, reading it over again, did you get worked up for him, or was it just kind of a, it's Four?
No. I just found the whole thing, reading it over again, I found it all really very interesting. No, I felt for him, but at the same time, you know, I was detached after having read it before.
That's what I thought, too. I thought maybe this was a big chapter. And even rereading it, I could feel it again.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as big of a deal. I'm such a girl. I do, like, get all the inner girl squeals inside of me whenever they have their little moments. And when they're in, like, the first one they go through is the heights. You know, they have to jump off the building or wherever they are. But the second one is the claustrophobia, where the box breaks them down. And, like, he can't escape that. And he kind of does escape that by thinking about Triss and how close they are and how funny she is that she likes him and she won't admit it. Like, I just thought that was horrible all over again. I couldn't help. I smiled.
Yeah.
But then the killing the woman. Ooh, here's a good question. What do you think where these fears come from? Some of them are explained later on.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what your opinion is.
I mean, claustrophobia can be explained in a lot of ways. I mean, you sit there and maybe you hid out in a closet too long playing hide and go seek. Mm-hmm. And the closet just closed in around you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heights is also easy. You fell from a tree. You don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
The woman and the gun is like, I don't know. It's so weird. I mean, I know it, but it's so kind of like out of the blue where you have to, you know, he has to kill this woman.
Mm-hmm.
He's innocent, and he hates that. He hates that about himself, that he has to do that. I don't know.
Do you think it's the killing the woman that, like, the act of killing somebody innocent that gets him, or do you think it's the person itself?
Well, now that you've asked me that, I'm debating my choices because I always believed it was the act and not the person. But maybe it's the person now. I don't know. Did you just spoil something for me?
No, I didn't. I sure didn't. I just thought I'd get your mind rolling. Give me some motivation to read the second book. So what else is going on? Okay, and then the last one. Yeah, I still cringe over that.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine, God, this book is just so graphic. And to visualize not one father whipping you with a belt, but like
12
of them around you at the same time, it gets traumatized already.
Yeah.
And I worry about that. That would scare me too. Like, okay, any child who's ever had their parent literally go in a rage and try to swat at them with the first thing they find in the room can relate to that. And I'm not saying that that's like, oh my gosh, my mom's a bad parent, but I'm saying that my mom was a single parent and she whipped me. And there are some moments when you just don't mess with your parents when they're crazy like that. You know, you let that go. Pick your battles. And I can't imagine him going through that every single time he was in his brother's game. Anyway, but he has Triss with him. I like to think he got through them a little bit quicker with her there, you know?
So.
But those were intense. I almost overread this week and went on to the next chapter, but I didn't. I stopped myself, which kind of tore me apart because I really wanted to move on. But we will stop there. Any comments about chapter 25 before we move on?
No.
I feel like we're moving very quickly.
I think we are.
I feel like that was a very quick chapter-by-chapter recollection.
Yeah. There's not a lot you can really delve into other than, you know, what
happened. Yeah. I don't think Triss is really developing much. There aren't any new characters. We do get a little bit more Janine insight. I think at one point Triss asked Will, I think she says that she's never met her in person, but Will says that, you know, she used to work with his sister and that she's really smart. So I guess we get a little bit more on, like, the Janine front and what's going on over there,
mm-hmm.
but not much. And I couldn't even tell you which chapter that was in. It all kind of blends together at this point. Anywho, did you have a favorite quote anywhere in there?
No, I kind of just, nothing, I mean, other than the ones that popped up from 24, nothing really stuck with me.
There wasn't a lot of humor in these chapters either.
No.
They were all very serious.
Yeah.
That's okay. We will pick back up again next time with, what do you think, 26 through...
Why don't we do 26 to 29?
Okay. And we'll pick back up again with that next time.
Yep.
Moving on to Mad Libs. I have a confession to make. I did this Mad Lib and another episode.
Okay.
So the scene that we're fixing to read is not in the chapters we just talked about.
That's fine.
But it's still going to be funny, I hope.
Okay.
So, Mad Libs is where you are given a paragraph and you ask your participant, partner, whoever is playing with you, to fill in the blanks. Only I can't tell you specifically what the blank is, and I can't read the paragraph to you until the very end. So you're going to give me a bunch of random words that I ask, and we're going to see how funny you can make this paragraph.
All right.
All righty. Here we go. Alyssa, I need a verb.
Take.
Tank?
No, take. T-A-K-E.
A-K-E. Okay. Okay. And then I need an adjective.
Crap. Green.
Yeah. Okay. How about another adjective?
Stringy.
Okay. Okay, another verb.
Run.
Run. You gotta be creative, Alyssa. Come on now.
I'm trying.
Verb again. Verb. It's what you do.
Accelerate.
Okay. And then a body part.
Toe.
Okay. Another body part?
Hair.
Person of position. Like a title.
Sales associate.
Let's keep going. Oh, can you give me a nickname?
Kitten.
Kitten?
Yeah.
Like a little kitten.
Yeah. Good nickname.
Okay. How about an adverb?
Firmly.
Okay. And a verb again?
Exercise.
How about a noun?
Thought.
Thought. Okay. And, speaking of a process. How can we make that better word?
Process.
A process of something like?
Churning butter.
Turning butter?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to switch that up to butter turning.
Okay.
And then an emotion.
Despondent.
What does despondent mean?
Very sad.
Oh.
Does it actually work?
I don't know. I'm making it work. The English language is weird.
Yep.
Okay. Another body part.
Kneecap.
Kneecap. And then another person of position.
Aid.
What?
Aid. A-I-D-E.
An aid. Okay. And then an adjective.
Hello. Crap. Slimy.
Slimy. And then one more nickname.
Button.
What?
Button.
Button.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's see if we can get through this. Okay. So this is the first time that Triss introduces her mom to Four at, what's it called? Visitor's Day.
Oh, God.
Alright, so here it goes. She says, standing alone at the railing is Button, though he's not an initiate anymore. Most of the Dauntless use this day to come together with their families. Either his family doesn't take, or he wasn't originally Dauntless. Which faction could he have come from? There's one of my instructors, I lean closer to say. He's kind of green. He's stringy, she says. I find myself nodding without thinking. She runs and lifts her arms from my shoulders. I want to accelerate her away from him. But just as I am about to suggest that we go somewhere else, he looks over his toe. His eyes widen at the sight of my mother, and she offers him her hair. "Hello, my name is Natalie," she says. "I'm Beatrice's sales associate." I've never seen my mother shake hair with someone. Button eases his hair into hers, looking stiff, and shakes it twice. The gesture looks unnatural to both of them. No, Button was not originally Dauntless, and he doesn't shake hair easily. "Kitten, it's nice to meet you." "Kitten," my mother repeats, smiling. "Is that a nickname?" "Yes," he doesn't elaborate. "What is his real name?" "Your daughter is doing very firmly here. I've been exercising her training." "Since when does overseeing include throwing thoughts at me and scolding me at every opportunity?" "That's good to hear," she says. "I know a few things about Dauntless training myself, and I was despondent about her." He looks at me, and his eyes move down my face from nose to mouth to chin. Then he says, "You shouldn't be despondent." I can't help the heat rushing into my kneecap. I hope it isn't noticeable. Is he just reassuring her because she's my aide? Or does he really believe that I am slimy? Look at that look me. She tilts her head. "You look familiar for some reason, Button." "I can't imagine why," he replies. "I don't make a habit of associating with Buttons." My mother shakes hair. She has a slight half air, half sound. Few people do these days. I don't take it personally. He seems to relax a little. "Well, I'll leave you to your reunion." Well, that wasn't as funny as it could have been, but I think I kind of messed it up in a couple of places. It definitely didn't make any sense, though. Alyssa, where were you?
I have no idea.
It was interesting, nonetheless. Didn't intend for this, but I like how we gave four two nicknames.
We did. I don't know how that happened.
Kitten and Button.
I like them.
He's good. Very, very good. Alrighty. So that was our Mad Libs. Maybe next time I'll pick a more exciting paragraph to choose from. So we are almost coming to a close.
Indeed.
And the only thing we have left is book recommendations, Alyssa.
No.
So what is our theme this week?
So this week our theme is childhood favorites. I love doing childhood favorites because I love sharing what I loved as a kid and what I enjoyed. It was always a lot of fun reading as a kid.
I did not read as a child. I hated to reading. I didn't enjoy reading until I got into high school. So I have a limited scope to use, but I think this helps our matters because this is coming from a person who hated reading, and I still enjoy these books too.
All right.
My two favorite books when I was a kid were The Neverending Story, and the only reason why I read it was because I procrastinated, which I still do, and I had to find the biggest book I could find that would fit my AR goal for that time period, and I just picked The Neverending Story because it was the biggest book I could find, and I thought it would get me, one book would get me all my points.
Nice.
And so I started reading it, and lo and behold, I loved it. And I didn't even get to finish it. And the sad part is, I don't know why, I didn't get to finish it in time for my test. I passed my test.
Good.
But for some reason, I had this idea in my head that once I finished my test, I couldn't read the book anymore.
So oh, no.
Did. Until, like, years later. So I walked around loving this book and then feeling, like, obligated to not check it out from the library again because I was done with it.
Oh, man.
It was so bad. I feel so weird about it now. I love that one. And then I also love the Alice series by Phyllis Reynolds Naylor.
I didn't read that.
I don't even know if they're still called the Alice series. I remember thinking it was cool because I thought Phyllis Reynolds Naylor was a dude. And I thought it was cool that he could write these books about like a teenage girl in middle school and elementary school. And I thought, this is perfect. This guy totally gets me as a child in school. It was great.
Cool.
Phyllis Reynolds Naylor is a woman, by the way.
Yes.
But I still love the books.
Good.
Those were my two literary loves. What about you? What did you love to read when you were a kid?
One of the books that I just loved was actually something I never read myself, but my father would read to my siblings and I. He would read Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories to us.
What are those? And
what?
What are those?
They are kind of tall tales about the beginning of creation, basically. So one of them is, you know, how the elephant got its nose, or how the cheetah got its spots, or how the rhino got its wrinkles, kind of stories. Or how the one of my all-time favorites was how the camel got its humps.
Okay.
And no one seems to know these books, so I feel like I need to promote them as much as I possibly can, because they're some of my favorite short story books. And I just, the way my father would read them, you know, it starts off with, "And so, best beloved, this is the tale." Yeah, we found like an audio recording of Jack Nicholson reading them. And you can just imagine his dry kind of, "I'm over this" voice reading a children's book.
That's true. That's very true. I'd pay money for that.
I did pay money for that. I was looking for them and I found them and I was like, yes.
Hey.
And then one of my favorite books that I actually read was called Gone Away Lake. Now I can't remember who it's by. By Elizabeth Enright. And I read it when I was in elementary school. What?
What's it called again?
Gone Away Lake.
And when did you read them?
I read them in elementary school, and I read them actually in tandem to my grandmother reading them out loud. Reading it out loud. My grandparents would take us up to the Adirondacks, which is in upstate New York. It's a natural park.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd rent a house, and we'd stay up there for like 2 weeks every summer, and we'd get to hang out by the lake, which is always a lot of fun. And she found this book one year called Gone Away Lake, and we were like, this is fantastic. It's all about these two kids who are staying at at their family's house on the lake, and they find a trail to a settlement where all of these houses are just falling down, and they're not ghosts, they're really old people who just stayed as the lake deteriorated and as the town deteriorated. And it's really, it was one of my favorites growing up, and I loved the whole idea of finding this place. It meshed well with our adventures in the Adirondacks, because there was a thing called, it was like a mud pit. It was like quicksand, except it was mud.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Gulper. And once my brother and I were out on a hike with my grandparents, and he lost his shoe to a gulper. We thought that was the funniest thing.
That's too funny.
We enjoyed it.
Oh, man. What was the first book you ever read by yourself? Do you remember?
No, I don't. The first, like, proper novel that I read was The Courtship of Princess Leia.
What do you mean, first proper novel? I mean, you said a proper novel.
Like a grown-up novel.
Oh, okay. I was thinking my first book I read by myself without anyone's help was Green Eggs and Ham. But that's only because I remember being so proud of myself for reading it. And my mom was proud of me, too, because I didn't ask her for help at all.
I don't remember what my first, like, real book was. Like, it was probably a Dr. Seuss book, because we had a lot of those.
I like reading Dr. Seuss quotes.
They're fun.
Not necessarily the books, but I just love going through all of his quotes and thinking, this guy was a genius.
He is.
I just like him. He's a stand-up guy. Do you still read children's novels from day to day? Not like middle school, but, you know, like...
Sometimes.
So often, sometimes?
Sometimes. If I'm really, you know, really feeling nostalgic, I do.
Any other books? I do remember renting out the, I can't remember what it's called. It was that book with the fish, and it had one sparkly scale.
Rainbow fish?
Is that what it's called, rainbow fish?
Yeah.
I remember that was the only reason why I rented it from the library is because I wanted to look at the pictures with the sparkly scale on it.
Yeah.
So that is our recommendations for the day. Thank you so much for listening. You know, as a listener, you can always email us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Visit the site at factionfandom.com. Our Twitter is ffandompodcast. So follow us there. And then, I came up with a new Tumblr. It is faction-fandom.
Ah.
So follow us on Tumblr at faction-fandom. I tried to get the old one back. It was difficult. So I'm trying to regenerate it. Spread the word. Tell your friends.
Yes.
Follow us on Tumblr, too. Okay. And we will talk to you guys next time. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Don't laugh at me. I'm trying to scroll my screen up on my computer, and I realize it's my computer, not an iPad.
Oh, my God. You do that with your finger?
How many times do people do that? Like, am I not the only person who does that? Because I feel like I do that all the time.
Yeah.
What's that scene in Sparta where, like, he looks over at her and yes. Go ahead before he kills the guy?
That was my favorite. I love that movie. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I have never seen it all the way through. Did we just give cartoon nicknames out here?
You should watch the 300 all the way through simply for the very, very simple reason of oiled and muscled men.
I will keep that into consideration.
Let it go, 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 let it go.